Tonight I would like to bring some things along the line that our brother who introduced me said. Because certainly I would want to bring some hope and the hope of being supported in our trials and our troubles and such as this. As I traveled earlier this year in January and February with my brother Bob, we found that as we traveled in various areas, a lot of special needs. There are lots of problems in life and troubles and things. One evening, I went to one of our members' place, and her daughter earlier had wanted some references on various things concerning the church and our beliefs. And this evening, I had some more references on baptism and that. But because of difficult things that had happened among her sister's family and everything, she says, we really need lifted tonight. So I didn't use what I'd prepared. I just looked to the scriptures and held out hope to this family. And we must remember that there is hope when we place our trust in God. And I would like to turn to the 34th Psalm and read verses 3 and 4. David and Ol full well knew of the goodness of God. And he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. In other words, make great the Lord with me. The invitation is for you too. And he says, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. So I hope we each might exalt the name of the Lord together. I sought the Lord, David said, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And here is a man like you and I who evidently had fears, but he sought the Lord and he delivered him from all his fears. And this is one of the reasons I want to touch upon this sermon tonight. Because there is a lot of fear upon the face of our earth today. It is on the increase. Many things are happening that are distressing. And it is a true thing that we must keep our hope in God and Christ. And Jesus Christ, in looking down to this day, prophesied of it. And I'd like to turn to the 21st chapter of the book of Luke and dwell a bit upon things that he prophesied that would take place previous to his return, his second coming. And I only want to use verses 25 and 26 because they're along the line that I wish to present tonight. There shall be signs in the sun, Jesus Christ said of this day, and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. And he went on to say, the sea and the waves roaring. Before I read the next verse, I want to pause and think upon the verse that we've just read. And this is said of a day where there would be distress of nations, and that's previous to his coming, with perplexity. The word perplexity means bewilderment, or the state of being perplexed. And the word perplexed means uncertainty. And if there's ever a day that people and nations are bewildered and uncertain, it is today. All we have to do is read our newspapers, watch our newscasts on television, and we see that there is a great turmoil upon the face of our earth. And Jesus said it would be with perplexity or uncertainty. And then he goes on to say that the sea and the waves shall roar and men's hearts failing them for fear. He looked down to our day and saw that men's hearts would fail them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And so when we think upon this particular verse here, we see a lot of things taking place. The powers of heaven shaken, I think, could even mean maybe some of the unusual weather we've had. And it seems like we hear of a flood of the century. Poor California a year ago had what they call a 100-year rain. It didn't wait another 100 years, because this year they got another to go with it. And if we just analyze events of the last 3 years even, and think of what has happened, the Missouri River, the Mississippi River and its tributaries overflowed, and it was a devastating flood. I think maybe that same year, or close by in Florida, there was a devastating hurricane. And a year ago, an earthquake in California. These things are taking place. And the Japanese nation suffered a devastating earthquake this year. Things are happening of this nature. But again, the thing I want to show tonight, that even though these things are prophesied, will take place. And in the 24th chapter of Matthew and Luke both, Jesus Christ told of a day there would be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. And in Luke it said great earthquakes. So we can expect those things. But again, we can't very well stop these things. But what I want to show is that even though these things take place, we don't have to lose hope. Because as I want to turn to 1 John 4:18, we will show that with Christ there is hope. It says there is no fear in love. And you heard this morning in the sermon by Brother Moser, quite a bit touched upon the thing of love and what is required of us. You heard quite a bit about charity and its attributes. And the Apostle John of old said there is no fear in love. Even though these things take place, he said there is no fear. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And when people are afraid, they are in torment, we must admit. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So I think this is one of the great things, and as was well presented earlier today, is the importance of us having that love we should have one for another and for our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, in the early part of this fourth chapter of 1 John, starting with verse 11, it says this, "Beloved, let us love one another," just as plain as can be, "for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And before I finish tonight, I want to even stress more and fully the importance of this love in our individual lives. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." And that was a great gift, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that next verse there said, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." That's in 1 John 3. But this great gift of Christ, that we might live through Him, Moroni, in the 7th chapter of Moroni, and I'm not going to turn to it, but there is hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of His resurrection to be raised to eternal life. And there is the hope that we must center our thoughts and our minds upon. For we do have a great God who is concerned for the needs of each and every one of us, young and old alike. I would like now to turn back to the 34th Psalm again. And I'd like to pick up with verse 6 through 8. Again, David had a lot of experiences, and I want to share some of them with you tonight. He said, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him." So this shows us that when we pray earnestly, the Lord can hear us. "And saved him out of all his troubles." First, he talked about fear here, that the Lord delivered him from his fears. Now, he's saving him from all his troubles. But it didn't say he wasn't having troubles. The Lord just delivered him from them. "O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." I think I skipped a verse. Maybe I should have read. Verse 8. "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." So if we trust in the Lord, he can deliver us. Now down to verse 17 through 19. "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." And again, he didn't say we weren't going to have any troubles, but the Lord can deliver those that serve him and keep his commandments. "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." And we notice in the scriptures, especially when Christ taught the people upon this continent, he admonished them to come unto him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's the type of people they were to be. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." So this indicates there can be fears, there can be troubles, there can be afflictions. But David said, "The Lord delivereth him out of them all." And I like one side reference in this, in the 17th chapter of the book of Alma. It's found on page 434. And it's verses 3 and 4. Some of these scriptures people have heard me use many times. But like I say, some scriptures I don't find any substitute for them, so I'm just going to keep using them, that's all. They fit a certain occasion. And here was a man that was concerned for his son Helaman. With all his heart, he was concerned. And he says, "Now, O my son, behold, thou art in thy youth." And incidentally, he was a minister too, so I don't think he was a 14 or 12-year-old probably. But he still called him a youth. And, of course, the older you get, 25 or 30 sounds kind of young, you know. "And therefore I beseech of thee that thou will hear my words." Pay attention to what I'm going to say. Alma said to his son Helaman, "and learn of me." And Alma learned of God. He learned the hard way. One time he went about to destroy the church of God with all his energy, but he had a spiritual experience that brought him down. He repented, and he was of mind to spend the rest of his days serving the Lord. And he did a mighty job doing it, I'll tell you for sure. And then he says, "For I do know that whosoever shall put their trust in God shall be supported in their trials and in their troubles and in their afflictions, and shall be lifted up at the last day." Now that to me is hope. It didn't say there wasn't going to be trials and troubles and afflictions, but he says, if you put your trust in God, you shall be supported in them. And then the promise of being lifted up the last day to be with God and Christ in eternity is a marvelous promise. "And I would not that ye think that I know of myself." Now, I don't know this of myself, he says. "Not of the temporal, but of the spiritual. Not of the carnal do I know it, but of God I know this." So Alma had first-hand experiences. And he knew this was true. And I like his wonderful testimonies. Turning over to the next page on verse 25, I think one of the most marvelous testimonies I could turn to anywhere. And I have been supported, Alma said, under trials and troubles of every kind. Here was a man that had trials, that had troubles. He said he had them of every kind. Now that's quite a few. Yea, and in all manner of afflictions, he also said, I have been supported. Yea, God has delivered me from prison. And we know the story of times when Alma was in prison and he was delivered. He was he was bound and in prison, and he was delivered by the power of God. Even the prison was shaken down. And from bonds he was delivered. From death even Alma was delivered. Yea, and I do put my trust in him, and he will still deliver me. Now that's the kind of thing I want to impress upon each one of you tonight. In all these trying things that is prophesied, most surely will take place. Because the prophets of old knew of our day and the days ahead. But again, if you place your trust in God, you can be supported in your afflictions, whatever it be. Sometimes we're left with afflictions. Like the Apostle Paul was a man that sought the Lord three different times. He would like to be rid of it. But the Lord didn't deliver him from whatever his affliction was. And I think for Paul to have sought the Lord three times, it must have been pretty bad. But then he gloried to God that this affliction would make him a better Christian, putting it in my own words. That it would make him more Christ-oriented. That would make him a better servant of Christ. And he really did a marvelous work for the Lord. Because of his desires, even though afflicted, he functioned. And so some of these things, as I grow older, I can relate better to without getting too specific. And he says, I know in verse 26 that he will raise me up at the last day. Now that is a beautiful thing. To dwell with him in glory. Yea, and I will praise him forever. For he brought our fathers out of Egypt, and he has swallowed up the Egyptians in the Red Sea, and he led them by his power into the promised land. And that's one of the most marvelous stories we have in the Bible. Whenever you can go through the Red Sea, and through the power of God, those waters was parted. And I'll tell you what, it'd take quite a bit of faith to walk through a path that the Lord prepared with water on each side of you now. I mean, it would try the faith of anyone in here. Don't kid yourself. But you may have such a thing to do someday. So we better work on our faith that it will be sufficient. The time comes we can walk through knowing the Lord will deliver us. And they walked through. And then he let it come back over the pursuing armies. And Alma was thinking of how great what the God had done for his forefathers. And when Lehi and Nephi and others came to this continent, again, the power of God was with them. That's how they arrived here, because God was with them. And from time to time, they too were delivered out of captivity by the power of God. And you and I don't know what it is to be in captivity. It would be a new experience for any one of us. I hope we may never know. But I don't know all that will take place, and neither does anybody else. But I do know what the prophets have prophesied of our day. I would like to turn now to 2 Timothy. And dwell a little bit upon Paul's statement to Timothy. It's found in the third chapter, and it involves verses 10 through 17. And again, I want to show you what a positive outlook Paul had, even though a man of affliction. And then he told Timothy, says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. How did Timothy know it? Because Paul taught him his doctrine. He says, you have fully known it. And he says, you've fully known my manner of life, because that fully known here applies to all of these. So I may just put it before him because it makes a little better sense. Thou hast fully known the manner of life. You know the type of life I've lived. So if we want to influence others, people are looking at us, can we say, look to my type of life? So we got a duty to walk a God-fearing life before God and our Savior Jesus Christ. You've known my purpose in life, Paul said. You've known about my faith. And he was a man of unusual faith. There was a lot of them in the Scriptures. And we've been admonished to have faith. This same Paul in the Hebrew letter, I was reading somewhat in the Sunday school lesson today, and you'll run on to this one of these days for long in your Sunday school lesson. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is an important thing. It is a spiritual gift. It is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It is one of the principles of the gospel. It involves a lot in our life. And to every man, according to Paul in the Roman letter, is given a measure of faith as well. So what you do with that faith is what counts. And the more you exercise it, the stronger it gets. And we need to exercise it. Paul also mentioned to Timothy, you've known of my long suffering before you. You've known of the charity that I had. We heard this morning that charity is the pure love of Christ. And I say Paul had it. You've known of my patience. And this same Paul, in teaching the Roman people, said, we glory in tribulations. Now, most people aren't going to make a statement like that, but Paul says, we glory in tribulations because tribulations worketh patience. And I don't know anybody that couldn't do with a bit more patience, and maybe some of us need a whole bunch more. But anyway, maybe some of these trials are for a purpose, to see how patient a people we will be. And you can work on your patience, and you can achieve a greater patience. And then he goes on and says, persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch. So in Antioch, in Iconium, and in Lystra, he had persecutions and afflictions. And he says, what persecutions I endured. Now, if Paul can do it, we can do it too. We don't need to think just because he was an unusual man that we can't do some unusual things too. It's just what we make up our mind we want to do. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Now, don't you like that testimony? And I'd like to hear a similar testimony from every one of us. It'd be nice. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He didn't say these things wouldn't be. And I dare say we've got by pretty good on not having a lot of persecution. But you don't need to think this is always going to be that way. But again, you can be supported in it. You can be delivered from it. That's what the hope is. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And evidently there was a problem then, but that problem today will exist. It is already existing. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. So I want to assure you of some things tonight. And I would have hope that you might continue in these things. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and he learned them from the Apostle Paul, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So what a beautiful time to learn the Scriptures. Timothy knew him from a child. But like I said before, if you didn't learn him as a child, you better get with it and learn him now. That's for sure. Jesus Christ said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." It is a charge to every one of us. And he talked about these holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so it outlines a way that we might become perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I would like to turn again back to the 37th Psalm this time. And I just want to read to start with verses 39 and 40. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. That's where it comes from. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Daniel too looked down to the time of the end and said it would be a time of trouble such as had never been since there was a nation or ever will be. But every one whose name is written in the book shall be delivered. That's the book of life. So we should so live that our name might be found written in the book of life. And then he went on down in the 12th chapter in the 4th verse and said, seal up the book, however it's worded, until the time of the end when many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. He gave the time that this would take place. And it looks like men are really running to and fro today. We can go over the face of the land pretty rapidly. Some of our airliners could circle the globe almost probably in 24 hours, and our astronauts go around several times every 24 hours. Beyond our belief, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And we're all well aware of the knowledge and the increase of it today. It is constantly on the increase. And so much can be stored upon a little tiny computer chip beyond my imagination or any of our imaginations. And it looks like we're locked in to this great knowledge. It may yet be our undoing, but then we're still locked into it for the time being. I have some ideas. I won't get involved in that tonight. But anyway, I would like to turn to another passage of Scripture from 1 Nephi 7, and it's found on page 75. And it's going to involve several verses, 34 through 42. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the children of men because of the iniquity that doth abound upon the face of our earth. And because iniquity shall abound, Christ said, the love of many shall wax cold. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved even in the destruction of their enemies by fire. There's one over here that I don't have listed, and I want to turn to it because it centers around that. It's found on page 41. Because it talks about this power too. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, that it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb and upon the covenant people of the Lord who were scattered upon all the face of the earth. And they were armed with righteousness and the power of God in great glory. That one day will be, that will be their help and their strength, armed with righteousness and the power of God in great glory. 36 said he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if so be that the fullness of his wrath must come and the righteous be preserved even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. Now this might seem kind of harsh. It's the way the Master and God, the Heavenly Father, have chosen. Wherefore the righteous need not fear. That's what David said when he turned to the Lord right here. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. The righteous need not fear. So the thing we need to work on is our personal righteousness, individually and collectively. For thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be as by fire. Behold, my brethren, I say unto you that these things must shortly come. Yea, even blood and fire and vapor of smoke must come. And it must needs be upon the face of this earth. And it cometh unto men according to the flesh. More specific, the deeds they've done and things like that. If it so be that they will harden their hearts against the Holy One of Israel, they will harden their hearts against Jesus Christ. For behold, the righteous shall not perish, for the time surely must come that all who fight against Zion shall be cut off. And I want to touch a little bit more on Zion in the next reference. It's found in 2 Nephi 7 on page 113. But behold, this land, saith God, shall be the land of thine inheritance. Talking to the people who are the Indian peoples really today. And the Gentiles shall be blessed upon the land. And this land shall be a land of liberty unto the Gentiles. That's talking about the United States of America. And there shall be no kings upon the land who shall rise up or raise up against the Gentiles. And I will fortify this land against all other nations. And we know that when our forefathers came here, they were delivered on down the line from the mother Gentile, England, by the power of God. They were delivered out of that because they humbled themselves before God. Now that shows we too must become a humble people. Our forefathers were such. And I will fortify this land against all other nations, and he that fighteth against Zion, so that would make synonymous this land with Zion, shall perish, saith God, for he that raiseth up a king against me shall perish. For I, the Lord, the King of heaven, will be their king. And I will be a light upon them forever that hear my words. So he can be a light forever to those that hear his words. And we know that in the book of John, Jesus Christ said that, he says, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Wherefore, for this cause, that my covenants may be fulfilled, which I have made unto the children of men, that I will do unto them while they are in the flesh, I must needs destroy the secret works of darkness, those things are upon the face of our land today, and of murders and of abominations. I must need destroy these things. Wherefore he that fighteth against Zion both Jew and Gentile, both bond and free, both male and female shall perish. So he's making a firm, strong statement here to not fight against Zion. For they are they who are the whore of the earth. For they who are not for me are against me, saith our God. For I will fulfill my promise, which I have made unto the children of men, that I will do unto them while they are in the flesh. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, thus saith our God, I will afflict thy seed by the hand of the Gentiles. That was done in the early history of our nation. The Indian peoples were afflicted by the hand of the Gentiles. Nevertheless, I will soften the hearts of the Gentiles, that they shall be like unto a father. And peace is a nice thing to have among us, that we might walk a peaceful life before God. I'd like to turn to the book of Alma, the fifth chapter. It's found on page 325. I think I'm going to shed a coat. I'm about to melt. I'd like to pick up with verses 34 and 35. Alma had taught a group of people. He had taught them in the way they should walk. Yea, I perceive that ye are making his paths straight. That's a nice thing to say about a people. He says, I look out. I've watched you, he said. I perceive that you're making his paths straight. I perceive that it has been made known unto you by the testimony of his word that he cannot walk in crooked paths. So we want to think about that. He says, I see the type of life you live. And I say, I perceive that you have decided that the Lord can't walk in crooked paths. And we know the marvelous vision that Lehi and Nephi had. A straight and narrow path it was that led to the tree of life. And we know there was a rod of iron along it. And that rod of iron was a representation of the Word of God. And it led to the tree of life. And Lehi saw that the fruit of that tree of life was desirable to make one happy. And he partook of it, and it filled his soul with joy. The fruit of that tree, or that tree, is a representation of the love of God. So it is important. Going down to verse 39 there. Well, maybe I'll read 35 first. Neither doth he vary from that which he has said, neither hath he a shadow of turning from the right to the left, nor from that which is right to that which is wrong. Therefore his course is one eternal round. And I think maybe the 39th verse is another one of those verses. There's several in the scripture that really lay it on us, that really give a lot of responsibility to each one of us, of requirements of the type of people we should be. And now I would that you should be humble. Yes? Earlier here, over in another chapter here, in the third chapter in the 48th verse, Alma said, could ye say, if ye were to call to die at this time within yourselves, that you have been sufficiently humble? He asked the people. And we might each ask ourselves. Kind of an eye-awakener, isn't it? Eye-opener. He would that we should be humble, be submissive to the working of the Holy Spirit, and gentle. That's the type of people we're to be, a gentle people, not harsh. Easy to be entreated. To do what? To do good. Not evil. We know that wouldn't be the case. Full of patience. Well, I talked a little bit about patience already. And long-suffering. That's the type of people you and I should be. Being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times. Now, didn't that outline quite a bit of responsibility? It sure did. asking for whatsoever things ye stand in need, both spiritual and temporal. Always returning thanks unto God for whatsoever things ye do receive. So right there, we pray over our spiritual needs. We pray over our temporal needs. And right here in the same book of Alma, it tells us to continue in prayer, morning, noonday, and evening. We must do that against the powers of our enemies and against him who is the enemy to all righteousness. We must regularly do that. We're to pray over our families, our crops, our jobs, all these things. And verse 41, and see that you have faith, hope, and charity, and then you will always abound in good works. Well, now he's outlined how to do it. This is as plain as language can be. Faith, hope, and charity. And Paul in the Corinthian letter says, and now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of all, and we all know what it is charity. And you heard this morning about charity being the pure love of Christ, and whosoever is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. And then the next verse said, he wants us to constantly pray with all energy of heart that we might be filled with that love, that pure love of Christ, which the Father has bestowed upon all who are the true followers of his Son. Now, if you're a true follower of his Son, the Father's going to bestow that pure love upon you. That's what the Scripture says. I believe it, just like it says. So is it important or is it not? It is vital that we do this. Verse 43 and 4. And now, my beloved brethren, I have spoken these words unto you according to the Spirit which testifieth in me. And my soul doth exceeding rejoice because of the exceeding diligence and heed which you have given unto my word. So he told these people here, I rejoice, my soul rejoices because you paid attention to what I've told you. And then he invoked one of the most beautiful blessings upon him. I really like the next verse. And now may the peace of God rest upon you and upon your houses, and lands upon your flocks and herds and all that you possess. Now, isn't that a nice thing? Your women and your children, may the peace of God rest upon all this. What is the qualifying thing? According to your faith and your good works from this time forth and forever. He outlined it rather well. Well, I'm just going to use one other scripture tonight from 3 Nephi. It's found on page 618. Starts with verse 10. But it came to pass in the 29th year there began to be some disputings among the people, and some were lifted up in pride. That was a great promise, a problem many times in the Book of Mormon. It's a problem in the Bible. It is a problem today. Pride and boastings because of their exceeding great riches, yea, even unto great persecutions, for there were many merchants in the land, and also many lawyers and many officers. So that was one of their problems way back then. Many lawyers and officers, and I think some of them probably were judges. Other places it says that. Look down today and think upon that. That's why I wanted to use this scripture before I close. And think of our problems today. A lot of it is connected with our lawyers, our judges, our court system being misused in the way our forefathers intended for it to be used. And I think of an article I read a couple of years ago, in the Yakima Herald paper in Yakima, Washington. And I was up at Toppenish, and ex-Governor Lamb from Colorado had a speech there. And incidentally, he was a lawyer. But in this speech, he told the people, he says, our problems in the United States is we got far too many lawyers. Then he gave an interesting statistic. He said that in all industrialized nations of the world, there are 20 engineers to every lawyer. In the United States, there's 20 lawyers to every engineer. And I haven't forgotten that because it just twisted it around. So I dare say we could get rid of about 99 out of 100 would be about right. Well, anyway, it does present a lot of the problems. And so it goes on here, because of this pride that they were lifted up in, it presented them no end of problems. And finally, most of the people even walked away, except a few of the Lamanites who were converted into the true gospel of Jesus Christ and had a desire to continue in the commandments. So let's read verse 16. These were the ones, these Lamanites, who were converted unto the true faith, it says, and they would not depart from it, for they were firm and steadfast and immovable, willing with diligence to keep the commandments of the Lord. So this is what sustained them. And so it is with us. We too must be willing to keep the commandments of the Lord and follow Him and keep His commandments.